Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
And hey, welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast. We have a very special guest on the line.
Let me introduce literally my favorite comedian alive right now, Bill Burr. How are you, Bill?
Hey, what's going on?
The one and only Rich Eisen.
Sports is a lot safer than Christian Mingle.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I'm a Jew.
Without further ado, the one and only best-selling author, popular radio show host, Jim Norton.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What a rookie I am. You're listing things, I just interrupt.
You know, from The Man Show and Loveline, the godfather of podcasts himself, Adam Carolla.
Thanks for having me.
Very, very special guest. Used to be from Opie and Anthony, now from the Anthony Cumia Show. Anthony Cumia.
Look at that. What an intro. Jesus.
Smooth as silk.
Like, I thought I'd be on hold for the next segment while you talk to this wonderful person.
I was checking the specs on the end line for the rotary girder. I'm retarded.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast and Radio Show, episode 100. We are so excited about
Woo!
This one. We have our first guest ever, too, Jay Larson.
Hey.
Is going to be on the radio on the podcast tonight, / radio show.
He did the first show and the 100th show. That's amazing.
Yeah. And we are all committing suicide tonight, so everybody wins.
Everybody wins. Are you wearing your white sneakers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wear them every day just in case.
When don't I? Who knows when the comet will come?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I just went to like the dollar store and got like their cheapest, brightest white sneakers because they got to be bright white. You can't have them like faded or anything.
No, when the comet shows up, you don't want to be wearing some like
faded
yeah. sneakers. You want your kicks to be straight.
The comet's a judgy black dude, apparently.
You'll know the comet to be like, "You're wearing those?
Yeah. Those AIs 1999, man." I'm trying not to swear. I don't know if I can do a black voice without swearing. That's
sure.
hilarious.
It's impossible. I can't even do black voice without swearing.
Going to Mr. Steve, I guess that's the other one.
Nope.
Yeah, so, and the show has reached an all-time low. But Will Ferrell being Alex Trebek. Soundbite, I read a lot of radio shows use. So, you know, I filled it in since we know the technology right now. Quite yet. Anyway, welcome to episode 100. Speaking on the line here, on the mic is Jay and Shelton.
Hey.
And I am Patrick. I want to thank everybody for joining us. We had huge numbers again last week, so maybe people are actually following us. Yeah. So, thanks everybody. Whoa. Keep doing it. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Unless accidentally, like the same exact amount of people that are Ziggler fans are Almond Badooti fans. So,
it's a weird Venn diagram between those two.
It's pretty much the same. Well, the dream show kind of like brings them together. I feel like
the only time I could ever say Venn diagram, by the way.
Yeah, I use the term all the time. It's horrible. Trust me.
Like legitimately. Oh, it's terrible.
You know the company I work for. It makes perfect sense.
Sure.
Anyway. Yeah, sure. It's like, I don't get to use it.
Yeah, no. Be happy about that. Don't worry.
He works for Vencorp.
Venn diagram land.
First in diagrams.
Yeah. Oh, what's the... I was going to think of one. I couldn't think of the one.
No, you couldn't, huh?
No, it's killing me now too. The
was it Chris Isaac?
It was getting the diagram for him. Chris Isaac, yeah. Chris Isaac. Some other vulgarity that makes us cut it out.
Jay Larson, so thanks. Twin Peaks.
Yeah, so Jay Larson is in Twin Peaks.
Right.
Chris Isaac did not write the song. Chris Isaac did not write the song.
Some soon to be 80-year-old wrote the song.
Angelo Badalamenti.
Yeah, we got it, don't worry.
All right.
We know. You struggled initially. Like, you were clearly like looking at his name going, oh, yeah, I got to pretend like I know his name here. Getting better as you say it over and over. Anyway, Badalamenti Christmas album was one of my favorite jams. Yeah, I think Run DMC was on that one. I was trying to think of I already had the joke loaded. I just couldn't remember exactly.
You just left your gun in the car.
Yeah, right. Just like Josh Huff, by the way, who was arrested for illegally carrying a gun.
Oh, man, what an idiot.
He's a wide receiver for the Eagles. Yeah, legally, he could carry in Texas and New Jersey, but not in Pennsylvania. Go figure.
Well, the only thing the Eagles can catch now is a charge.
Ooh. Now, apparently he's in trouble, man. A lot of people are saying, like, that's like pretty legit. This isn't like, you know, NFL player gets to swipe it, you know, gets to go, I'm playing the NFL. He'll let me go, right? Look more at that.
What were the circumstances? They don't have some sort of, like, safe travel thing where if you're taking it from one state through another state?
No, not at all.
They don't, okay.
And New Jersey is one of the worst ones. New Jersey, because my dad and my brother both have their license to carry conceal. If you go into New Jersey or Maryland with your gun, you will get... In New Jersey, you can get brought up on, like, charges if you were robbing somewhere.
Wow. Yeah. What's crazy is he actually was good in New Jersey, because Texas is, if you have a permit in Texas, it actually carries over in New Jersey, but Pennsylvania is where you get screwed.
PA isn't reciprocal with any states except for Delaware and Florida, I want to say.
Of course.
Why would Florida's reciprocal with, like, every state. Florida's reciprocal with North Korea, if you really... if you can carry North Korea, you can carry...
Philosophically and gun control.
Exactly.
I know, they're both kind of on the same plane. So, it just seems like too much effort to own a gun.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to keep straight. I don't want to be responsible for that. Then I have to try to, like, not shoot myself. It's just a lot of stress.
That's always my biggest concern. Like, one extra scotch one night. I'm just like, hey,
I'm like, true libtards.
Wouldn't last a year.
I'm a libtaritard, all right? Let's just get that straight.
I believe in carrying it. Maggie won't let me keep a gun in the house. She's terrified, definitely terrified of guns, so I'm not allowed to have any guns in the house.
Well, with the babies, you've seen The Simpsons.
I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, she clearly could get a hold of it, and knowing she can't handle her appendages at this point, it could be a mess.
That's true, yeah. Don't get a gun, because, like, those are the stories I read, and I say, oh, God, those people are so stupid, and I don't want you to be one of them.
No, see, here's the thing about guns. Like, the stories you read are just ridiculous.
They're all from Florida.
A man in Florida, and it usually is someone who shouldn't have a gun anyway. Like, when you hear him talk or whatever else, you're like, why does he have a gun?
You hear him talk.
I love it. I mean,
it's true. It's 100% true. I just love the best.
Like, you see the story, and then you hear the person talk. You're like, come on. Like, who gave him a gun? You hear how he talks. Like,
yeah. It's like he's using, like, voice modulators when they go.
Like in the old anti-smoking commercial, just the guy with the voice box.
Exactly. I still heard a y'all. I heard a y'all. I'm sorry. We're going to turn it down for the gun this week.
I'm sorry. You spell your whole name without pausing. All right, you're already disqualified.
Any World Series updates, Patrick?
Arietta just walked somebody, but no, it's the bottom of the ninth. Everybody's already not celebrating the Indians World Series right now. It ain't looking good, y'all. Maybe Game 7, though. Maybe we'll congratulate them on getting to Game 7. By the way, you know how they got the World Series to be to have home field advantage? Oh, nothing at all. No earning of that whatsoever.
Isn't it All-Stars or something?
So dumb.
Well, that's baseball. I mean, their Hall of Fame...
like, six more wins than the Indians.
Yeah.
Their Hall of Fame will literally have, like, three of the top hitters not in it.
I know.
I know.
Like, it's you're like, seriously? Like, he was a Hall of Famer long before he touched steroids. But
yeah.
Even
so
A-Rod,
was, for that matter. So was A-Rod, yeah. So yeah, was A-Rod. Rod. And Barry Bonds, too. I mean...
McGuire has no business being in there with or without steroids, but that's...
No, at this point, it's just going to be Ken Griffey Jr. by himself.
It should be. But, you know, the NFL Hall of Fame, the only criteria to get into the NFL Hall of Fame is to have played a game as quarterback. Like, you didn't even have to start.
It's close at this point.
Right. They let everybody in. Wow.
They will. Like, I will literally get a man happiness stick. Can I say that? Is that allowed?
Yeah, all right. That sounds all right.
You can say erection, by the way. I'm pretty sure that's a scientific term. So
We're still working on these. If they put Derek Sharper in the Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame will have absolutely zero credibility. The man is literally sitting in jail for like 15 rape charges, and he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He might not go first ballot, but I think yeah.
Well, it's funny, is he's already a stretch. You know, he's not like a slam dunk anyway.
No, he's not. So that's the best part about it.
Welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast / radio show. Again, we are in episode 100. In a couple of minutes, we're going to hand things off to Mr. Jay Larson. Not really hand things off, but interview him. You know him from Best Bars in America on the Esquire Network. You also know him from Twin Peaks. He also played a role in the movie The Invitation, which is a very dark, twisted movie. I'm kind of impressed. A hilarious stand-up comedian who's been featured on This American Life and Conan and all that good stuff would play a role like that, but it's awesome. So good for him. That's what I say. Him and Ryan Sickler are coming and doing a live stand-up show, kind of promoting the Crab Feast, and all the Crab Feast fans can go out there and say, F the Crab Feast, 5 stars, which is their kind of signature thing, which somebody did to us, by the way, on iTunes when we had Ryan Sickler on, which is awesome.
Sweet.
Gave us 5 stars and said, F the Crab Feast. So we'll take what we can get, you know? So, Sheldon, you're going to fill in 5 minutes on Wiener?
Yeah, there's like 20 minutes on Wiener, actually, but it was I really came in on the second part of it because so the movie
that you're missing here. I can't. Yeah. Must be because you're the one that's doing the talking. But anyway,
the documentary comes in like from the angle that he's disgraced already and he's trying to get a second chance, but literally as they're taping, the second thing comes out. So they just keep rolling with it.
Oh, like, right. Yeah, that happened like as they were doing it. Oh, that's so cool when that happens. Doing it,
he literally gets the phone call. Like, he's in his office, and they show, like, all his staffers as they're finding out about it. And, yeah, they're just so mad. They're like, are you serious? Like, again? And, like they're all freaking out. So he tries to come in and play damage control with it, trying to make it seem like this is all from, like, a continuation from the first one. But it really wasn't. It was all some new girl who he was still texting. And he was texting under the name Carlos Danger.
I love that, yeah.
So he's telling her, like, you know, you gotta be careful with what we say and all this stuff. And then comes out another girl who he was texting and going on with. That was the one who went on Howard Stern and then did a porn as her. Like did a porn, you know, something Wiener or whatever.
So to quote the great Greg Giraldo, you remember when we used to have shame?
No. This girl had no shame. Like, literally, at the end of it, when he's doing his concession at the bar, she shows up just, like, with press, just so she can try to confront him and his wife in front of it. And his wife looks like the most uncomfortable person in the world. Like I wouldn't even think that someone going to death row looked the way she did. Like,
it looks she's got to deal with Wiener, and then she's got to deal with Hillary. I do not envy her at all.
Bill's Wiener, yeah. Because
that's true. Leo!
So Hillary's going to have...
Conservative talk radio station. We're good. Much appreciated. I think we just got 20 new listeners.
Yeah.
See, I think I remember, wasn't he doing well before that thing came out?
Yeah, he was crushing it, dude. Like,
yeah,
like,
right.
The funny part about it for me watching it is, like, seeing him, like... It was all the people who turned on him who were like, yeah, the hoity-toity crowd. But, of course, like, the minority groups don't care what your private life is. They want to know what your policies are. So he's still, like, the Dominican Day parade, and they're like, never quit. Keep going. Like, you know, they're celebrating him and everything else because if you're worried about your everyday life, you don't care who he's sending his crotch pictures to. You know what I mean? So it was funny seeing that. And then, like, as he's walking down the street, this other woman's like, are you someone I should know? And the guy's like, he's Anthony Wiener. He's like, no, I'm not. And he just gets on his bike and keeps rolling. The wife at the end doesn't even go to, like, the concessions. Like, doesn't even go, like, on voting day. She doesn't go to the polls with him. So he takes his kid with him and, like, tries to make it seem like, you know what I mean? Like everything's normal. And they're like, well, do you feel bad because your wife isn't showing up? And he's like, what do you mean? It's just a conflict of schedule. Meanwhile, she's like, I'm not going. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She just, it was such a terrible thing. Like, you know, whoever was filming it had to have gotten, like, the biggest raging boner because of
erection. Is the same thing, I believe.
because of like the whole situation being in the middle of it, because it was so fake up to that point where he was still trying to come off as nice, and then it was just a bombshell for there, and they were like in the cab talking, and like his campaign manager is trying to, like, they're trying to remain like keep a code name for her, which was what was it?
Oh, please tell me it's a good one.
Oh, it's pineapples. It's pineapples.
Pineapples.
Pineapples. Yes. So he
called. Is that what we use for black people? Remember when we first started?
Yeah, it is.
I think it was.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, on that thing for the Reddit people. Yeah, the Reddit.
Yeah.
Reddits.
They're big fans.
huge fans. But he's sitting there trying to use the code word because he knew they were taping, and then he messes up and uses her name. And he's like, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. Because now you know the code name, you know what I mean?
Right.
Pineapples in front of the building. It was just a comedy of errors for this dude. Like, he's the biggest idiot. Like, I mean, he was going to be mayor of New York after screwing up the first time. He was outpacing de Blasio. Like, they showed de Blasio's parade, and it was like 50 people. And then they showed his parade, and it was like all these people up and down the streets. And then he did this one, and then this one came out, and it was like he just fell apart. He was in some city, whatever, and this guy was like, I'm going to address the 900-pound gorilla in the room. How can we trust you when you just keep doing this and putting your stuff out there? Like, it's just so sad. Like, it's like, why would you put yourself back in the same position you just got out of? He did a People magazine. And it was like real with the kid and the wife, you know what I mean? So it was just, it's just sad, man. Like, so.
Yeah, good times.
So you really do have a half an hour on that.
To Jay Larson.
I told you. You have to watch it. You really have to watch it. It's like one of the saddest. Sure. Yeah, it's like one of the saddest documentaries I've ever watched, because of how you could tell the beginning he just knew this was his triumphant return, and then it was like the producer's like, yes, never.
Yeah.
But that was, how many years ago was that now?
3 years.
Three years ago. How is it still a thing? How is he still causing problems with this?
Because the emails. Well,
she was underage. So
there's another one that they think was underage.
I know.
It was 15.
How do you not stop? I don't know. Like, I don't know
what. No. This isn't current. This is still from all that one.
But oh, saying God, it's still coming out.
Oh, wow. She was underage at the time. So they're going back on the emails, which now coincides with the time when Hillary was Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. So now they're saying that his wife's emails were on the same hard drive that he was emailing this girl. So now that's two separate things. Like, the hard drive is now being used. They cloned the hard drive, and one set is looking for Hillary's emails, and the other set is looking for him texting or emailing underage girls.
Wow.
So clean that one up.
It's the dirtiest computer in the history of the U.S.
I know. You know what's funny is that, you know, that Milo Yiannopoulos guy or whatever, he's like an alt-right or whatever, new alt-right, whatever the hell they call themselves. He called this like a year ago. He said that their personal computer is going to end up screwing Hillary in this situation. Like, he totally called it when they started talking about investigation because she might be underage. But it was like a year ago he basically called it this would happen. Like, sooner or later, this was going
to
happen.
I can't listen to any guy who's still in such denial that he's a homosexual. That dude really doesn't believe that he's gay.
A wiener?
No, Milo.
Oh, no, he's totally open.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's beyond out of the closet. Yeah.
So how's he so alt-right? How's he so, like...
Oh, he probably falls more into the libertarian category. He doesn't care about gay people. Yeah. He just hates feminists. That's all. Good kid. Yeah. Good egg.
Don't we all?
He legitimately does too. That's the funny thing. Like, he wouldn't even deny it.
I mean, I wouldn't get into that.
Yeah, no. We're got these listeners. They love him on the station. Come on.
No, I'm not talking about. It's not even about him. I my position on the feminist thing. Like, I might get into that.
Yeah. Right. It might be the right stage for it. Anyway, so we're going to take a quick break. We want to thank nobody yet, actually. I was going to thank our sponsors, but our sponsors will probably start next week, it looks like. So we want to thank you guys for listening, though, most importantly. We've had huge numbers, top Philly comedy podcast over and over again.
major in the trending, major in the comedy stuff. We're doing really well, and it's all because of you guys. So thank you guys for spreading the word and downloading. Yeah, you people. That's right. I'm pigeonholing you all. You're all the same. With your phones and you're downloading and episodes or going to the website and embedding, you're all the same, every one of you. So thank you guys. But next up we have Jay Larson from Best Bars in America, from the Esquire Network, stand-up comedian, been on Conan like 6 times I think now, and he was on, he had a great story on that This Is Not Happening show, that comedy show, storytelling show. Funny dude, they're going to be here next week. They, as in the Crab Feast, they're doing stand-up, him and Ryan Sickler, next Wednesday, November 9th, 8 p.m. show. Check it out, heliumcomedy.com. Check out the Philadelphia site. It's coming up on Wednesday, the 9th of November.
By the way, I do want to make one small plug, by the way. For Omar Douglas, he's going to be fighting on the undercard for Daily Garcia at the Leah Cora Center on November 12th. He's a local Delaware kid, and he boxed at the same gym I was in, and he's a hell of a fighter, and I think he honestly, in my opinion, he's the better fighter on that card, because Danny Garcia, in my opinion, is a great Philly fighter.
So, yeah, there you go.
That.
I don't think anybody likes Philly, right? Is that the case? Like nobody likes him. Even
he's like, not a real Philly fighter, man. His style is not a Philly fighter style. Like, he's a he's picking his opponents. And I'm glad that Omar's getting a shot on his undercard, because it will bring notoriety to Omar, his style is definitely a come forward and fight style, but it's more of a Philly style than he's from Delaware. And Danny Garcia is just like a don't get hit. There's too many guys trying to emulate Floyd Mayweather, like being more defensive instead of just coming forward and fighting. You know what I mean? And so.
Right.
I gotta respect him. He's got a belt, whatever. I mean, everyone does. We do. But, yeah.
Put mine on every day.
I'm wearing mine right now. So, if you like.
You know what? If I'm wearing, like, blue or, like, some specific color that needs brown, I just flip it, and it's brown. Boom. No UFC belt that can do that. They don't have it flip over, and all of a sudden you're a heavyweight champion boxer. Anyway. So, when's that fight?
November 12th at the Leah Cora Center.
Awesome. That's big, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Good for him. Awesome. So, hopefully he wins that fight, and we'll interview him afterwards, right?
Yeah, anytime. Good kid.
Nice. Awesome. So, next up is Jay Larson, November 9th, Crab Feast, him and Ryan Sickler at the Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia. Check him out at jlarsoncomedy.com. Check him out next year on Twin Freaking Peaks. Crazy, man. Anyway, he'll be on the other side, and we will wrap this up by putting a little bow on it and kicking it out of the door. Hey, Larson, next.
It's abusive.
And welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast, episode 100. Very special guest, because he was our first guest, along with Sarah Tiana. We're our first two guests in episode 1, and now he's here for episode 100. You know him, probably best know him from Best Bars in America, but apparently, and we got to talk about this, he's going to be on Twin Peaks next year, which is insane. It's a good thing I went to your website first to get that info. Co-host of Best Bars in America on the Esquire Network. Co-host of the amazing podcast the Crab Feast, and hilarious stand-up comedian, the one and only Jay Larson. How are you, man?
What's up, brother? Great, man. Good to be here. Thanks for having me back.
No problem. First and 100th. I literally didn't even put that together until we were just talking a minute ago.
That's kind of how I do. You know what I mean? I feel like that's an appropriate amount of time for people with me. You know what I mean? About 100 episodes, they're like, we could tolerate them again.
with our workload, that's like 3 years probably too. So, yeah. Cool, man. So, first off, I want to talk about Twin Peaks. I hate to jump right into that, but you have a recurring role on the Twin Peaks reboot.
Yeah, man. I was lucky enough to squeak in there. I don't know how it happened, but I think because David Lynch likes people that probably can't act. You know what I mean? So I think that's how I got in there. He was like, yeah, this guy's just weird enough because I don't think he really knows how to act, so let's put him in. So, yeah, it was amazing. Got to work with him, got to work with Naomi Watts, got to work with Belushi, got to work with Colin. It was pretty cool, man. It was a really fun experience. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's insane, man.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are stoked. I was saying to someone, like, if that show came out, like, 2 years ago instead of 20 years ago, it would have been even bigger than it was then. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was way ahead of its time. Yeah, absolutely, yeah, man.
So wacky.
Awesome. So tell us about the let's jump right into what Wednesday is going to be like. Oh, yeah, by the way, everybody at home, Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia, Wednesday night, November 9th, the Crab Feast, Jay Larson and Ryan Sickler. If you don't already subscribe because it's an amazing storytelling podcast. We've had both Ryan and Jay on, but they're going to be doing a live show. So, Jay, you want to tell us about, you know, what they can expect from a live show, a live Crab Feast?
Yeah, well, basically, you know, we've been doing the podcast for like 4 years, and we just never really went on the road to go see our fans. So we like finally had a break in our schedules, and we're like, let's get out there. And we did a small run like on the West Coast and Central, and now we're heading out to East Coast. So November 9th, we'll be at Helium. It's going to be a great show. Basically, we're just doing stand-up. It's not an actual podcast. So
nice.
I figure, you know, you can get the podcast every week free. Why pay money to go see a podcast, especially when we got to bring a third person? So it's just tough. But for our stand-up, you know, it's a chance for us, our fans, to see us. And Ryan and I get up on stage together, and we tell a couple stories, and then one of us will do stand-up, and the other one will come up and do stand-up, and then afterwards, you know, we're taking pictures and meeting people and saying what's up. It's a chance for us, not only for our fans to get a chance to see us, but for us to see our fans and thank them, because they're some of the best fans in podcasting, no doubt.
Very cool, man. That's awesome. That's a really cool concept, because I agree with you, the live podcast thing. Like, even though we do them here and there, well, not here and there, we do them about once a year, but but it's like, we're kind of forced upon it because there's like a local festival, but it's still, I agree with you. It's kind of like you could just download the thing live, you know, like everybody does live shows. You can just download it whenever, you know. I hear you, man.
Yeah, we do it. Some people it works great for, you know, but for us, we've done it and it's been great. We've had some other ones that are like, oh, okay, you know, you just don't know. And it's, there's something about podcasts in general that's so amazing about, you're by yourself and you're listening through your headphones and you kind of like living in this like secret little world listening as if no one else is there. And then when you do it live, depending on what your podcast is, it's just, you know, it's just a little different. So
yeah,
we thought stand-up would be the best, and it's a chance for us to both be on stage individually and then be on stage together. So it's been great, man. We've had great turnouts and tickets are going fast. So it's awesome, man. And I just can't wait to be in Philadelphia. It's been a minute. I've been out there. I can't wait.
That's what I was going to ask you. I don't remember you or Ryan being here for a while. It had to have been a long time, huh?
Oh, man. It's been forever. I was never even there for stand up. I've never even performed in Philly. I've just gone there to like visit family, you know?
Wow. That's awesome, man. You are. The good thing is, like, Helium it's a phenomenal club, but it doesn't represent Philly in the negative ways, just the positive ways.
That's true.
It's like great comedy minds and like sharp people, blue collar people, but kind of a good mix of people. Not like, you know, nobody's throwing a battery at the stage or anything like that. So,
well, what are your crowds like? Are they like battery crowds?
Yeah, we're big into batteries. We like batteries. I don't mind a spare tire crowd. Get that spare tire coming at you.
Oh, that's great, man. So,
I wouldn't mind a steak and cheese crowd, you know what I mean? Just hauling steak and cheeses at me.
Well, sure.
That would work, actually. It's a really good call.
Yeah, that'd be phenomenal.
We'll get that hashtag going right as soon as we put the episode up.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm curious about the invitation. How did you get involved with that? Because it's such a, you know, unique movie and definitely not a, you know, not a comedy from what I remember. How did that come about?
Well, I was on the road shooting Best Bars, and I was home. I think we had just wrapped the season. We just wrapped, and I was just, like, completely spent from getting drunk across the world. And my agent called me. He's like, hey, there's this movie and someone just fell out and you need to go meet with the director today. Are you down? And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, I was like looking forward to just hanging out and having time. But he was like, it was shooting 1 week in LA and I had nothing going on. So I just finished the show. I would shoot for a month in LA, you know, so I'd be at home with the family every morning and every night. It's perfect. And I'm like, now I just need to go, you know, convince them that I can act without having to audition, which is perfect because I'm horrible at auditioning. And I went and I met the director, who's amazing, Karen Kusama. She did Girls Fight and Jennifer's Body. She's done some pretty awesome movies. Oh, wow. And we kind of just hit it off. I think I had a really good knowledge of like what the character was just after reading the script. I mean, the script was like spooky. It just was spooky. And I remember like reading, I came up to my wife. I'm like, I'm telling you, this movie's going to be sick. And I really liked the script. The guys who write the script are amazing. They wrote Clash of the Titans. They wrote Ride Along. I mean, wow. They're just talented guys. They can write something funny, and they can write something dramatic, and they can write something suspenseful. So I was just, you know, good people attached. And I went and I met the director, Karen. And it had nothing to do with how I act. It had everything to do with, how I grasped, like, what the project was. And I was lucky because both the writers really liked my stand-up. And this character that I played is a little bit of the comic relief. You know, it's a pretty intense movie, but my character has some great lines. And I think they really liked that, you know, my comedy's grounded. So that was pretty much it. Again, Twin Peaks and The Invitation, I was lucky that I could trick everyone to think that I could act. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's incredible. What kind of a character are you doing on Twin Peaks?
I can't say what I do because like everything is like super hush hush. It's crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
So
are you happy with the character? Okay. Well, just generalities. Were you happy with the production? Is it really coming out next year?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
So this is the deal. This is what I heard, is that like David wrote the entire series as one long script, and then he was going to shoot it and then chop it up.
Okay.
And you know, they don't even know how many episodes it's going to be. Like, if you look on IMDb, it will just say, like, everyone plays one episode because they don't even know how many episodes it is. Like, I don't even know how many episodes I'll be in.
Okay.
And, like, everything was so hushed. I mean, you understand, like, when everyone was so insane over the first season that people are, like, want any information they can about season two. And, like, we had to, like, when I got the sides, you know, they would deliver them to my office and they like have my name on them. I had to turn them in when I was done shooting. It was like, they don't want anyone to know anything. And I loved it. There was something awesome about being on set, just like secret, you know?
Yeah, so, it's kind of a cult. Yeah, like, you got to keep that to yourself. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Patrick just texted me and let me know that you already talked about this in the first like 2 minutes while I was out of the room, but that's okay. I'm really interested in it. So were you deep into Twin Peaks, or is this like something you kind of came to and was just like, okay, well, I guess that's a pretty cool thing to do?
Yeah, it's like when Twin Peaks came out and when like X-Files came out, that was kind of around the same time. And I was like just graduating high school, getting ready for college. And I was all about like my freedom. And like, I wasn't even really watching TV. I was just like, you know, hanging with friends and getting in trouble. So I went back and watched, you know, before I went to set, you know, because I didn't want to show up not knowing anything. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is like, that's what I was saying. I was watching the first episode. I'm like, oh my God, this like should have been on like 2 years ago. And it would have been like people, it would have had like 7 years in a row. It would have been on, you know,
it totally stands up and it's got that timeless way that it was filmed.
Yeah.
So you could watch it whenever. And it's just like, oh God, yeah, that kind of exists out there somewhere.
Yeah, like working, you know, having the chance to work with David Lynch and watch him and see what he does and see how he handles things was pretty cool. I was, you know, I guess it's weird to say I was impressed, but I was impressed. I'm sure he's going to be, oh, you were? Thanks.
Oh, sure.
But I was just like enamored by everybody I was on set with because they're all so pro. And it was like, and his crew, man, was unbelievable. I remember I went and shot something else shortly after that was for a friend, and I was like getting annoyed. I'm like, are you guys kidding right now? Like, let's go. Like, because I just came off working with David Lynch, whose crew moves like like, I mean, like a ballet performance. You know what I mean? Huh. You shoot, he gets it in two takes, boom, boom. Next thing you know, they're like, all right, we'll be need set up. We'll be ready to go in 30 minutes. Like, all right, cool. 30 minutes on the dot. All right, Jay, we're ready. And I'm like, geez, these guys just move.
Wow.
So, you know, and then cut to me 2 nights later telling jokes in a bar in front of 8 people, dude. You know?
Oh, that's funny.
That was that always reminds me of that Bill Burr story where he like got to drum for Guns N' Roses, and then he like went to the Comedy Store that night to brag about it, and he was like in the parking lot, and some girl came up to his car and was like, he thought she was at the show or something like that, and she asked if he was his Uber.
Amazing. Brings him right down. I love it.
I want to talk about Best Bars in America, because that was it wasn't just a cult hit, it was actually just a big hit, period. A dream job, obviously. I don't even have to ask that question, but how did that come about, like, to be able to basically go and drink amazing drinks at amazing bars?
You know, man, it's so funny you say dream job. Some people have said it to me. I'm like, is it a dream job? I was like, unhealthy. I think I almost died 4 times. But then I think back and I'm like, man, I love traveling. It's an amazing way to like see cities. Like, anytime I meet people and they're like, oh, I'm headed on the road. I'm like, oh, where are you headed? They'll name a city. I'm like, oh, I know 4 bars you need to go to. again, you know, like in LA, there's like 5, you can get a job by auditioning, but most people just get it through knowing someone. Like, I've never really gotten anything through auditioning. It's like, you know, going in and meeting someone, like the invitation, and or, you know, just going in and reading for David Lynch, which luckily happened. But Best Bars, again, it was like these Esquire approached my buddy who owned a bar and asked him if he'd be interested in hosting a TV show. And he's like, yeah, I've always wanted to do that. And they were like, do you know any comedians? And he's like, yeah, I got this buddy Jay, who's hilarious, one of my good buddies. And they're like, oh, would you guys mind like putting yourselves on tape together and we can shoot it here in the bar? And he's like, no. So we did it. And it was great. It was super fun and entertaining. And Esquire was like, listen, we really like Jit, but they didn't want my buddy because they wanted another comedian. So he didn't get it. I got it. It was his idea. And he's just like, I mean, he was super cool about it. He's like, yeah, I mean, he's uber successful in the restaurant world. But it was like one of those things that luckily because of him, I stumbled into it. And I was fortunate enough to have that job for a couple of years.
Nice. How did Sean come about?
We, you know, Sean and I knew each other way back in comedy, and and they were looking for people to pair us up with. And Sean and I had the same agent, and my agent said, like, hey, how close are you with Sean? I'm like, oh, I love Sean. And they're like, all right. And like, was talking to Esquire. I'm like, what about Sean? And they saw Sean. They're like, oh my God, he's perfect. He's like so different than Jay. Let's pair them up. And, next thing you know, we're shooting a TV show.
That's awesome, man. That's a really cool story. I could imagine the not really being a dream job thing, because I travel all the time for my day job, and people are always like, oh, you get to fly around and company pays for everything. It's like, well, yeah, I eat like garbage. I likely drink too much and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you're staying in a hotel. And I got 2 kids, so I was like away from my kids. But at the same time, it was cool to see the country. And I do love booze in restaurants. Like, it's like a dream of mine to have one day. So like to be in like the best ones and see how they do it, and you're getting treated. It was tough to go to restaurants and bars after that, because like we'd roll in, they'd be like, oh yeah, we got 2 spots right here at the bar in a great atmosphere, and you get everything on the house. And I was like, oh yeah, this is how I should be treated.
Right, exactly.
Now it's like, hey, how you doing? We're just gonna grab 2 spots at the bar. I'm like, oh, those are reservation. You have to reserve. I'm like, yeah, but it's a bar, but they're reservation. I'm like, you know what? I'm out of here.
You guys don't muddle anything, or you don't put egg yolks in any drinks?
You guys aren't egg yolking worth the yolk. Nah, all right, well, I'll take care. I'll see you then. You know, sometimes those drinks are great. Other times you're like, I just want a beer. Give me something on tap. What's the worst thing? The other day we were at a bar, and I was like, hey, I was with my friends. And I'm like, what are you going to tap? And they started like telling me like all these IPAs and everything. I'm like, you got like a Pacifica or a Budweiser? They're like, yeah. I'm like, all right, perfect. My friend's like, you getting a Budweiser tap? I'm like, yeah. And they go, why? I'm like, because I just want to drink a beer. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just want a beer to taste like a beer, you know?
Right.
Or a PBI. Or isn't a PBI that's Philly all day?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And the hipster areas, yeah. They serve them at some of the bars. They'll serve them with the brown bag over them. It's hilarious. That's, trying too hard, I feel like, something. With that. But.
Yeah, that's trying a little hard. There used to be a bar in L.A. you go to, and you could order this martini up with olives, and if you, every time you got it, it came with a Lucky Strike unfiltered. So you get a cigarette with your martini, which is kind of dope, like, especially if you don't like smoke all the time. You're like, oh, yeah, I'll get one cigarette with my martini.
That's hilarious. That's actually a really great idea.
Not with me, though. I have one cigarette, and I'll be a pack a day. There's no question.
Yeah, right. No, I'm with you. I quit about
I can't stand years. Those people that you see, and you're like, oh, you smoke? And they're like, nah, just on weekends, or, you know, when I'm drinking. And then you're like, oh, what? Get out of here with your non-addictive personality.
Exactly. Awesome, man. So let's plug the show one more time. So Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia, 20th and Samson, for people that are local here that know the streets. 8 p.m. November 9th, Wednesday. Going to be an awesome show. Jay Larson, Ryan Sickler, both from the Crab Feast, going to be doing some stand-up, some storytelling, all that good stuff. Going to be a really fun show. I can't recommend it enough. You know, we'll put it up on our website, send it out to our email list. I don't know if you know Jay too, because we're on the radio now locally here. So we got a really, really sizable audience right now. So we just can't swear, which, you know, is whatever. But
we've been really good at that, apart from talking, like describing penetration for 5 minutes that we had to cut out last week. But
other than that,
yeah, other than that, we were okay.
I love that we're not on the radio show, but you're still being clean by saying describing penetration.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no. So this that is... sounds dirtier than if you just said banging.
Right. So this is technically going to be on the radio show. That's why we pre-record it. So it's a.
Okay.
It'll be up tomorrow. But either way, we're good.
I love it.
We could say banging.
Congrats, you guys. I love that I was there for episode one, and now you got a radio show.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. SB Nation too. SB Nation Radio. Crazy.
Moving awesome. On up.
Yeah, right. Now they just have to we have to stop paying them for our spots and get paid. But
moving
anyway.
Sideways. All right.
Yeah, right. Lateral move.
Lateral move.
I do also want to throw this in there real quick because it's Philly Radio and this is we covered comedy, we covered food, we didn't say anything about sports. Jordan Matthews is on my fantasy team. I love what Carson Wentz is doing. Thank God Chip Kelly's gone. Am I wrong?
Yes. Amen. Everybody will high-five you for that. And Nelson Aguilar is a wasted pick. But other than that, I think we got it.
Yeah, that cool, dude, man. What was he piping off about last week? Unbelievable. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, he's just soft.
All right, boys.
All right. So, yeah, thanks a lot for calling in, Jay. JayLarsonComedy.com. We'll put up everything else on the website. Go to HeliumComedy.com. Go to the Philadelphia site. Check them out Wednesday night, November 9th. It's going to be a great show. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Take care. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll see ya. Welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast / Radio Show, episode 100. We want to thank Jay Larson for calling in. Again, check him out, Helium Comedy Club, or heliumcomedy.com, I should say. Go to the Philadelphia link and click on the Wednesday show, November 9th. Ryan Sickler, Jay Larson, they're going to do some stand-up, do some storytelling. It should be pretty awesome. Super funny guys, great yeah. storytellers, too. So now we're back. Sheldon has our pop culture news to close us out.
Yeah.
Anybody that's not driving off the bridge right now?
Yeah, well.
Give it a yank.
The only reason I know this is because I was bored at work, so I won't even preface that with anything. I forget. So anyway, Mariah Carey apparently is dating a billionaire. I was confused because I kept seeing it pop up on the Yahoo scroll, and I'm like, there's no way Nick Cannon is a billionaire, number one. So I was like, he's not Ryan Seacrest, because he kept saying Mariah Carey and billionaire break up. And I'm like, I thought they were already divorced. So I clicked on it. Apparently she's dating some billionaire. I don't know who the dude is either. I read his name. Still don't know who he is.
Is it Sir dude Paul McCartney?
He looks like Paul McCartney's ass. Like, the dude looks strange. So apparently she's been just spending all sorts of crazy money, like 10 grand to get her hair done, like every other week to make sure her makeup is perfect and everything else. Uh-huh. So he's flipping out over that. And apparently he's also a Scientologist in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so, he's an Australian billionaire?
That's what, is that what it is?
James Packer?
Yeah, that's what it is. James Packer. That's, so,
Rocky.
So apparently
he's... Zeno.
So apparently he's done with her. Like he wants her out of his house, and it's like this crazy like mansion. But apparently she won't leave unless he buys her a whole nother mansion in Hollywood. Like she won't leave this mansion unless he buys another mansion. So she's basically like a squatter in this dude's mansion, which is crazy because she's got to have her own
billionaire squatter.
Yeah, like she's got to have her own money. Plus, she was married to what's his name, Tommy Mottola, before, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and then I'm sure she got like 65 or 70 bucks from Nick Cannon. So she's got that.
he got that money from headlining the Stress Factory a month ago. So yeah. You know.
And he's got that new video show that's basically America's Funniest Home Videos, but not. It's like clips from YouTube, pretty much. He's got to be making at least easy like $15,000 a year. So.
She was spotted at a Halloween party without her $10 million diamond engagement ring.
$10 million. Okay, see, like, what is that? Like, $10 million for an engagement ring? Like, really? For real? Why do you need that?
In all fairness, it's a pretty nice ring.
She's demanding a $50 million settlement.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I know. She said
relocated to LA.
She has a yacht that costs $340,000 plus to run per week. So, like, staff it and everything else. Yeah. And she would use it to go like to go to his boat, which is the seventh largest owned yacht in the world, privately owned yacht in the world.
Crazy. Like,
that's just obscene to a level I will never know. Nor do I really want to know that kind of obscenity. Like that's like having a tanker. I mean, like that's like taking my submarine to a Navy vessel and then flying to the moon and then fighting with my wife. Why do I need that? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't get that metaphor at all. What do you say?
You're
in a submarine and you're fighting with... Wow, all right.
Where would I get all three of those? Pretty much where I'm coming from. Like, sure. Why do you need a $340,000 yacht to get to a bigger yacht? It's like one of those cartoons where they're on like, the small boat to the bigger boat. It's ridiculous.
Like, they're like Russian nesting dolls.
Yeah. Like she pulls her boat, her smaller boat, into his bigger yacht, and then they go on to like an aircraft carrier. I mean, that's the entertainment factor that we're to let you know you'll never be this rich, obscenely rich. It makes no sense.
For everybody listening too, the Cubs will not be, or the Indians will not be winning the World Series. Yes,
today.
Could actually, I don't know. Do they play tomorrow? Could actually be today when you're talking about when people are
listening. Yeah,
I think anyway. So. Yeah, this is timey wimey.
When do they play again?
They usually when it's home and home, they usually go back to back to back to back. Like they don't take any days off.
Yeah. Sucks. Oh yeah. Plus tomorrow's Wednesday. They probably don't want to drag into Thursday football.
Today's Wednesday, so they probably don't want to.
You like that?
Break the fourth wall here.
Yeah, like,
here we are Wednesday night.
That's right. Everyone's like, wait a minute. He's in the future.
But I'm not.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they probably don't want to do Thursday game because of the football and all that stuff.
Oh, it's Hendricks and Kluber, too. What a brutal matchup. Kluber has how many? 2 World Series wins this year already, by the way, in case anybody's counting.
Is his name Kluber Lane? Because that would make me feel better.
Oh, that's really stupid, but it's so funny.
Deep cuts.
I don't get it.
The deep cuts.
That's my baseball knowledge right there.
What are we out of time, Jay? Are we?
Oh, I got like another 5 minutes. Yeah, if you want to fill it with some sort of like marinade.
Mm-hmm. So.
Are we really? We didn't talk about the 2 ties that happened. Like 2 weeks and 2 ties. That's crazy.
Don't bring that up. You know what? Here's the stupid. Jay Gruden's an idiot, number one. He says he didn't know that you could tie in NFL games. How does Jay Gruden not know that you can tie in NFL games?
McNabb did the same thing like 8 years ago.
Too. Yeah, but McNabb's an idiot. McNabb is a quarterback. he's not a coach either. And there's been ties since then. There was two ties last year. So how does he not know? You're the Redskins coach. That's pretty much what it comes down to. But at that point, Dan Snyder should have just fired him during the press conference and walked out. And is there any way we can put pictures up, by the way, Cam Newton's outfit from this weekend?
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. It's one of the best outfits I've ever seen that I'm like, why? Again, obscene money. That's really what it comes down to. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to dress as crazy as I can because I have the money to do it.
Because
if you saw someone walking down the street with that, you'd be like, damn, he can't afford better clothes than that.
Yeah, right.
But he's a $100 million quarterback. You're like, hey, I never can afford better clothes than that.
it's totally Adam Carolla's rich man, poor man thing. It's like he's got this, you know, this like list of things that rich people and poor people both share. And like clothes like that fall into that category. Like the best example I've ever heard is outdoor shower. That's the rich man, ultimate rich man poor man. Right? So like that outfit would fall into the rich man poor man. Like you'd see that person walking the street and you'd be like, oh, they're either really poor or really rich.
Yeah. I mean, that dude, like you'd literally just be like, that dude is filthy rich because there's no reason for him to be dressed like a villain from like a comic book. Like every week he dresses something crazy.
It is. He's like Mr. Glass.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he gets hurt like him too now. So.
That's.
And by the way, I swear to God, there was a point in the Cowboys Eagles game this weekend that you could see Tony Romo's face where he's thinking, "I don't want to be the quarterback in Cleveland next year." Because it was like. Prescott was playing bad enough for them to lose, but they weren't losing for some reason. He was. They showed him on the sidelines, and he had the headphones on. You could see he's like, "Shit, I'm gonna be in Cleveland." Oh, shit! I'm gonna be in Cleveland. Yeah, like he's gonna be the Cleveland quarterback next year. Imagine being
Jamie Collins right now. He woke up. We woke up on Monday morning. He was on the. There's someone playing on my headphones right now. Sorry, I have the game on in the background, so I'm going to close it up. Jamie Collins, I just fell in chase. It's obviously Sheldon Davis. Jamie Collins woke up on Monday, and he was starting, you know, like Pro Bowler, basically. On the Patriots.
They were contract negotiations.
Yeah, so he woke up on a team 6-2, just coming off of an awesome win and clearly the best team in the NFL right now. Literally by the end of the day, he was on the 0-8 Cleveland Browns mid-season, right before the trade deadline. And trades in the NFL like never happened during the season.
I know, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, brutal. It's all because they didn't want to offer him as much money as they were asking for. And the thing is, Cleveland isn't going to either. They're playing small ball right now with how they're spending. So,
yeah, anyway. I mean,
I can't believe they only got a fourth round pick for him.
I mean, why wouldn't you though? That's the thing. Like they plug and play. They'll put two players together in the fourth round or get a second round out of somebody.
Oh yeah, totally. Or they'll just lose all those picks anyway because they cheat, right?
Well, that too. And by the way, I have Brady in my fantasy football league. Let me tell you, I love it. It's a good time. I have him and who else do I have? It doesn't matter. I have Brady. That's all that matters.
Right, exactly. There's a guy in my league who had Brady and like Le'Veon Bell and Eifert and like two other guys. So like the first four games, he was literally 0-4 and stunk. And now, like, after everybody is suspended / coming off injuries and stuff like that, he's, like, untouchable right now. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's...
Good times.
I have no running backs. In case
you're wondering, the Raiders beat the Bucks in overtime this week, in case you're curious.
I know, I almost watched that game.
Penalty record. What's weird is they don't have the all-time record. I just assume they did, but they don't actually have the all-time record.
They do now.
They have their own. They broke their own record.
Oh,
the actual. The actual record, I believe, is still intact. It's just not. They broke their own.
Who holds it? Is it Cleveland?
That's what I'm looking at now. It's got to be. Yeah.
By the way, you know David Carr had 506 yards passing?
Yeah.
At what time do you in the game do you say they're going to throw it again? Like,
I don't know. Football just became Madden.
Yeah, it is. It's at right now. It's
terrible.
Like, well, the cornerback. There's no cornerbacks that you can shake a stick at right now. Like they're all just like average cornerbacks.
Yeah, and they can't really touch the guys either. They're pretty
much
not going to be penalized. Both teams. Looks like Brooklyn versus Green Bay in 1944.
Chicago with the Three Stooges helmets.
1944, yeah. San Francisco Buffalo, 98. Doesn't say who. I guess it was Cleveland and the Bears in 51. And then... yeah, so what did the Raiders finish with, 21 or 22?
I don't know.
Yeah, so if it was 22, they tied the all-time record, but I feel like it was 21 and they just beat their own record, their own, like, personal record, which they should be proud of.
They should. Well, they're actually winning.
Most penalties in one season, they're tied for, or and they're in second place, but twice they're in second place in two different years.
Oh, by the way, I can tell you the funniest meme I saw today about the World Series was the guy who had spent $800 to not listen to Joe Buck.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, back to Raiders. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, undefeated and on the road.
On the road, which is strange, yeah, I was going to say.
And that's the thing. Like, that's most people want to do, you know, at least eight. You want your goals 8-0 at home and then figure out the road wins, but they're just like, all right, we're going everywhere and winning. Although most of their games, they've only won by like 2 points, literally.
Yeah, his car statistics, though, and when the like scores within like if it's within 3 points, the score period doesn't matter what time of the game. His statistics are like by far the best in the league.
He's a monster right now. I was telling somebody, I'm like, dude, he's just he's playing out of his mind right now, and Cooper still hasn't even come all the way around. Crabtree's having a hell of a season.
Yeah, Cooper should have had that catch to end the game right towards the end. Anyway, dropped right in his hands, but he did have like 173 yards in the touchdown, so I can't really be upset at him.
Yeah, exactly.
So Jay, let's talk about Gary Carter and the 94 Expos.
He's not on the 94 Expos. You're trying to trip me up. Gary Carter, the kid. It's true. I think I kind of like stopped. I was thinking, I haven't watched a baseball game, like a full baseball game, in maybe a decade.
Wow.
It's just, I don't have the attention span for it anymore. I think we just changed as a society. I think we're finally at the point where it's like, okay, yeah, well, baseball was all right, but do we need to have it on television still? Right. Let's just do it on the radio, you know? That's better on the radio.
All right, so we'll wrap things up on that high note. America's pastime is dead, in case anybody was wondering.
It's dead in my eyes.
We want to thank Jay Larson for calling in. Again, check him out, jaylarsoncomedy.com. Go to heliumcomedy.com, the Philadelphia link, to check out their show. It's next Wednesday, November 9th, at Helium Comedy Club. It's two guys from the Crab Feast, Ryan Sickler and Jay Larson, doing stand-up, telling stories, all that good stuff. Go check them out. Tickets are selling fast. Apparently, they're doing it all over the country right now. Check us out, comedyfoodsports.com. And until next week, we're going to either have Matthew Broussard or somebody like that on the podcast / radio show.
We'll have Adam back as well.
I'm going to talk to him every time he has a pause, like a split second pause when he's talking. I'm going to be like, so I was a transition then. I was his transition. We'll get that next week. So we'll have Adam Kriston from, MyMMAnews.com? Is that right?
MMAnews.com, I think it is.
Yeah, either way, we'll get his plug in next week. Yeah. Knows more about MMA than anybody on earth, quite literally.
And
we're also probably going to have Matthew Broussard, a really, really funny guy. He's like a unique guy. He's like super funny and looks super preppy and clean, but he's also like, holy S, this guy is very edgy and kind of offensive at times. So anyway, in a good way, we'll have him on next week likely, and he'll be plugging in his Comedy Central special and all that good stuff. But for now, go check out Jay and Ryan next week. at Helium Comedy Club, November 9th, 8 p.m. show. And for Jay and Shelton and myself, Patrick, we are the Comedy Food Sports Podcast / radio show. We will see you next week.
Word. We are listeners from the stardust.
Interstellar shortwave, pick it up all over the place. Interstellar shortwave, take you to another state. Crazy fingers turn over the another state, yeah.